Welcome to Vineyard 61's weekly podcast. We hope you'll be inspired, challenged, and encouraged by this week's speaker. For previous messages, go to our website, vineyard61.org, or subscribe via iTunes or SoundCloud.
Today we're going to look at the book of Philippians, and do you know what? This is a book that is full of so much joy. It's a book that is so much joy that overflows. And over the next few weeks, we're just going to look at chapter by chapter, and we're going to see what God has and how we can walk and be released in joy in our lives. But I'm just going to do a little bit of background on Philippians and on the series. So the letter of Philippians is written by Paul while in prison in about AD 60. Paul was in prison. It was written to a Roman colony in Philippi, and basically this was a Roman colony in Macedonia, which is northern Greece today. It was a very well known place because it was full of the tribe soldiers. At this time, Emperor Nero was in power, and he was quite anti-Christianity. He thought of the change to the empire. So if you can imagine, this is a tough crowd because it's a very pro-Roman place. And it was the first church, Philippi was the first church to be founded in Eastern Europe. So that's basically a little bit of the background of what you're talking about. But Philippians is a book that is overflowing with joy. But Paul, I want to be just a little quick look at how Paul got to such a joy place in his life. Because we're going to go back to Acts 16. And the thing is, he's overflowing with joy. But Paul's in prison. And here he is. This is how he got to Philippi in the first place. Now, when he's gone through, when you've gone through Syria, I think that's for Lutheran, sort of like a speaking sermon last night, because I really didn't have to make that sort of place. But when you're in Syria, that's not last night. When you're in Syria, anyway, and a region in Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to teach the word of Asia. And they came to Master, I should have put my reading glasses, and tried to go on to Syria. But the Spirit of the Lord did not permit them. So passing by Master, they went to Paris. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night of a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded him, saying, come to Macedonia and help us. And one of the things what I want to try to get us to is Holy Spirit, Paul didn't go there. Paul actually wants to go to Asia. Paul wanted to go somewhere else completely, yet Holy Spirit said, no. He gets a vision and he ends up going there. Sometimes God takes us a place and sends us a place that we don't want to go and we need to trust in him. I mean, if you look at the book of Acts, if you look at chapter 16, he's going somewhere that he didn't initially want to go. Lydia, he preaches the gospel. Lydia gives his lesson. Lydia says, yes, I'm accepting this. He invites Paul to live in his house. He stays with Lydia for a few days. He goes around sharing and stuff like that. He gets told by being with this girl. And the thing with this girl is like, yeah, she has to say quite positive things about him. But the thing with this girl telling him, and then he goes to his people, I think he's like, God, I have nothing to say. He can't be doing that with this girl. You know, she had a spirit of divination, you know, she had a fortune teller. And the trouble was, most people actually made familiar with what this girl was doing. So they all got really upset, but who knows when you mess about with someone's money, they do get quite irritated. and they asked him off to the governor, and the governor turned around. They all asked him, the governor turned around and said, okay, beat him with this. So beat him with this, he's trying to kill him. This is the foundation of what I've called the most joyful Jewish letters. He goes somewhere he doesn't want to go, he gets beaten with words, and he gets thrown in prison. Now, I just want to say, my first point is, my first point is this. Sometimes we leave us places that we don't want to go, and we may go through trials, but we need to trust in Him. Sometimes we don't understand this God. Those times are so much about our own. We just need to listen to Him and see what He has to say to us. You know, I can think of no good examples in my own life where God has led me somewhere maybe that I don't want to go. But we need to be listening to that Holy Spirit. Just like when we spoke to Catherine about speaking to the guy and the lady on the bus about finding accommodation, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listen to what He says. You know, I remember when I first went to, God told me to go to a healing conference in America. Never been to America. First time going there. And it was great. And then God told me to go out and do some evangelism in the streets, which I've never done before. About that. And it's good to do evangelism in the world. Not my favorite thing in the world, just not that I've got to do. And we didn't have a lot of money at that time, so I was staying in a motel next to a trailer park, so it was quite a rough part of town as well. We're doing door to door. And I'm going to be honest with you, the first day, I'm getting bored standing in the place. I'm getting people abusing me. I'm getting people trying to step over me. And it was just like, what on earth am I doing in this place? I don't want to be here, but you know, I got back to my motel room. It was almost like, there you go, God, I was facing, what have you got next? And God turned around and said, I want you to go to the house and tell them. And then I'm having an argument with them in the third room. And I said, God, did you not see what happened today? Did you not see how angry these people were? Did you not see how these people wanted to step over me? Because they didn't want to go up to you. Oh, God, did you realize that these people were over here with guns and they're crazy? I mean, everything said that. Two of my friends, one of them at this point, he had been a Christian for about 2 months, and the other one had just come back to Jesus. And I went to his Israel meeting, and he was just coming to me and they were talking about, you know, how to follow and what was going on. And Daddy, the Christian who'd been a Christian for 2 months, he said, "Oh, God, I can't understand this. I can't understand this. I'm going to pray for the sick and the sick." And I looked at him and I went, awesome. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go back and pray about that, and I'll get back to you. I was fully expecting not to go. But the next morning, I read my Bible, and I can't remember what it was, but it was basically a move on to Jerusalem. And I've got to be honest, I wasn't filled with joy. I went, I know I'm going to Palestine. And that was my response, but God told me to go somewhere. And I can honestly tell you, we went to the streets of Palestine, and you know, Bethlehem, and all around the area, and we saw more signs and wonders than I've ever seen before. We saw healing, being set free, healing, being after. It was just the most incredible time of seeing the power of God. And I look back on those two times, and literally in both of them, I didn't want to go. But I look back at them as some of the most joyful, joyous times of my life. Because God knows so much more than we do. And we just need to trust that actually God knows what He's doing. So when God turns around to us and says, go here, go here, go here, go here, we just need to be obedient to say, no, but we don't have to be bad about it, I apologize. You know, it says in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, and lead not in your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and you will not forget your past. And the thing is, if you rely on our understanding and what we think, we're not going to go to pasty places. We're not going to do pasty things. And we have to say that. Where Paul's gone, it's a very subtle way of place of anti-Christianity. There's a whole lot of other places you could go. But Holy Spirit, through that picture, Paul goes there, and look what happens. You get the most beautiful place. Let's not rely on our understanding what we think is right, but let's just trust in God and see what He's saying is right. Because He knows what He's got in store for us. If God is calling us to trust, calling us to do something, we need to trust Him because He knows what He's doing. Human wisdom is God's sacrifice. But heavenly wisdom sees so much ahead and so much that's needed. And when we speak His words, even if they don't make sense to us, they make sense and He knows what's going on in people's lives. So yeah. Point one, we just need to stay there. Suffer the Holy Spirit and go where He's going. So, the problem we're looking at I don't know.
there is so much in that chapter that we can't read. But if you go to now, I've only got 3 points and we've already been through one of them. The bad news is that we've got the top five and that idea of the people. But as you look at this, point one is before I was there, but the interesting thing about doing is that story, because if you listen to what you're saying, it's still a story, it's still a, you know, a good presentation, it's still just being asked about what's going on. But the truth is that Paul's story was not dependent on the circumstances. Because you know where Paul was when he wrote it. He was in prison. You know, and we look at Acts 16, actually, when Paul was in prison, you think about Acts 16, he was beaten with rocks. Him and Saul were absolutely battered. They got sent to prison. And then at midnight, that scene closes and used for God. And all the people in prison are listening to them. Can you imagine that scenario? Because everyone else is going, how can they still be full of joy? How can they still be full of their own thoughts when they've gone through what they've gone through? And as Paul's writing this letter, he's in prison. You know, it speaks about him being, you know, caught at Christ in the power of God. And then you've got in verse 12 to 14, it says this. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me have actually turned out to the furtherance of the gospel, so that it became evident to the whole power of God and to all the rest that my faith is in Christ. So what was this? Our joy is not dependent on the circumstances we're going through in life. Our joy is dependent on who He is. Our joy is dependent on Jesus. And when we focus our eyes on Jesus, no matter what we're going through, when we make Him the priority and we follow Him, we can have joy. Joy overflowing. And it's not a wavering thing, it's a kingdom thing. You know, it's an anchor practice to the world. I mean, how many of the people went forward in prison when they first got in prison there, left, they all stayed in their faith. Why? Because they were attracted. How on earth is this man, how on earth are these two guys, so filled with joy, so filled with praise and worship to their God, when they can be set free, when they've just been beaten? And that is attractive. So everyone could be happy and joyful, like when they've got in the Savior's or around the theme park that time. You know, and that's the world thing. You know, if I get a bigger house, if I get a bigger car, if I get this, if I get this, I'm going to have joy. But who knows, if there's so many stories of people who have achieved that level and they still haven't got joy. True joy is found in Christ. That's where we've got to go. We find joy in Him in spite of circumstances. You know? And it's so effective. It's so effective. True joy in Christ is found. And even in our difficulties, it's such a great witness. You know, there's a story of, I don't know if you've heard of the Moravian missionaries. And, the text in context, you know, we're in the 1700s. John Wesley, he's a Methodist preacher, and he's getting on a boat going from England to America. And in this boat, there are loads of English and Germans. Now, unfortunately, all the English are quite proud and stuff like that. And the Germans are humble Christians. You know? Yeah. So we're going to leave that in there. Anyway, we've got on this boat. Now, at this point, Paul was actually always at what Paul. John Wesley is already a Methodist minister. He's already a minister. So he's already going around preaching about Jesus. But this is an extract of his diary, and it's 25th of January, 1736. The Moravians had just started their church service on the boat, okay? And in the midst of the sound where the service began, the sea broke over, split the land south into pieces, and covered the ship. And poured in between the decks of this, the great deep of water already filled them up. A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans had finally fallen. I asked one of them afterwards, was he not afraid? And he answered, I can't get no. And I asked, but why are you not your women and children afraid? And he replied, no, I don't know. Our women and children are not afraid to die. From then, I went to their crying, trembling neighbors, and pointed out to them the difference between the other side. between those who still work and those who don't. You know, in time to fly and struggle, when we're squeezed, we see what comes back. And we can make sure what comes out of the Jesus. And whatever comes from time to earth. Because that witness is more powerful than any words you can actually share. When people actually see, well, this is what the Bible says, and this is what they say. I would like to think that I was on like the Germans or the same. But the truth is, sometimes it's not really right. I mean, I remember one time I was in America and we were on a boat. But I was in America on a boat and we were in Maine and we were, me and my son Robert, we decided to go out and this big engine for me and this lake was huge, about 7 miles long. And we decided that was a massive engine for me, so I wouldn't run out of this bit here. Now, I didn't know what he was doing. He got used to me. Robert's got 15 miles. We haven't even got any bait yet. So I don't think he's going to catch me, but it looked good for the pictures, you know? So anyway, it was a carefully tried. We've gone out in this canoe, and we've gone about 20 meters back. And it's lovely. But now it's behind me, absolutely glorious. What I haven't noticed is, and I didn't know, is how quickly the storm came. So we're sitting in this canoe, and suddenly we're getting a bit of rain. And I look behind me and I know that like the storm is filled with storms. And I'm like, suddenly the wind picks up and I'm like, okay, I need to get in there. But I'm in this massive engine canoe, not very big paddling. And I try to get back and the boat's not going anywhere. And I'm like, I'm thinking of what you said. And I'm like, how am I going to get back? So I'm paddling harder and paddling harder. Robert's having a whale of a time. The lashes, the wind's there, the rain's coming down. You can't even see from here to the wall at this point. There's an electric storm going on, there's lightning hitting the lake, and I'm like, I need to get back to the lake, and I'm paddling and paddling. Robert's laughing, and what are you doing? It's going to be a tiny pod. No, it's not going. No, it's not going. You need to get back here. I tell you what we'll do is I'll paddle and you paddle. So I'm paddling as hard as I can, and he's sitting there thanking God that he's with us. He's sitting there thanking God that we're in the palm of his hands. Me? I'm not putting my eyes on Jesus. I put my eyes on his paddler. He didn't turn the lines on because he was like a little bit, not a little, but there was a bank that probably 50 meters in the next step, so it went on to the main road. And he was saying to himself, I think we need to go to the other side. Now, my feeling on the phone is like this. The bank I need to go to is 50 meters this way. He's telling me to go 50 meters this way, not the other. And I'm paddling. And I'm paddling and paddling and paddling. And he said to me, Dad, he needs to go this way. At that point, I realized he had been in prayer. I had been trusting in my own strength. He had been trusting in God's strength. And God had given me wisdom and I knew what to do. So we started having a lake, and we just made the last jetty before the lake got out to us and went my way. And there's nothing going on. So that's the reason I'm saying that is because we need to trust in God. Sometimes it's easy to take a lot of things, particularly when other people are talking to other people and stuff like that. But we need to have a child of our faith, and we need to trust in God to be in those circumstances. And in faith, we've got verse 6 in here, and it says this. Being confident of this very thing, that he has done a good work in us, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started a good work in us. Maybe we haven't always met that mark of the way we're missing on it, and maybe we can relate a bit more to the new stuff. But actually, he started a good work in us, and as we yield ourselves to God and say, no, but maybe I'm starting to fall back, but I'm going to lay it down before we know. God can give us peace, and he can give us joy in the middle of the storm. Let us do that open road and say, yes, in the middle of the storm. But the great challenge he has before us. He wants us to live in joy. And that's the second point. It's not dependent on our circumstances, it's dependent on who he is. Let's be like Robert and keep our eyes focused on him in the middle of the storm. Maybe we're not like him so much, but be like him. That's my point is, Paul's joy, Paul's joy was found through dying to himself and being in love with Jesus. What I find really amazing is how Paul introduced himself. Christians come to me, this is not how I'm going to introduce a lot to the Philippians, because at least in that time, there was probably like 10-20% of the population was saved. And a bond servant was somebody who completely yielded before. A bond servant was someone who was completely owned by somebody else. At what point is saying here? I mean, I wouldn't teach this word to them. I would say to them, but here he is, they're completely past culture. So, this is who we are. I mean, the Hebrew is the bond servant of here. I mean, similar connotations, however, the Mosaic law allowed to be an indentured servant to become a bond servant, by majority. Have we got that? No, the one for that. In one terms, the term bond servant was said to be the first son who voluntarily served others. But using the first son to fill the permanent position of authority, under Roman law, a bond servant was considered the owner's personal property. Slaves essentially had no right of being treated with impunity by the owner. And then I look at that and I think that's one of the reasons why Paul was so curious and convicted of that. Because that's what his life needs to be doing. His life needs to do this to be a complete soul out of him. It might not be a popular subject today, but actually, we're pleased to lay our lives down like what I do. Maybe we struggle to lay our lives down, but the truth is this. We're trying to pick up our first baby. And the wonderful thing about it is, his mercy is on you every morning. Maybe we stand addicted to the law of God. Maybe we pick up our own understanding and give something to God's heart and mercy. But actually, if we want to be consumed for it, we need to be a people who are so laying our lives down to Him. That would be it. Sometimes I know this, if I don't lay my life down before Him, I struggle. If I, sometimes when I've been so low down whatsoever, it's been like a rotten foot in my back and it's gotten lower. When I'm trying to walk through the world, I actually either have it to close me apart. You know, either better off being one or the other. Either better off being lukewarm, or being hot or cold, or it's not lukewarm. So let's be a people that turn around to God and say, you know what, maybe I have walked too close, but I want to walk with Him so you know that is that the only place I'm going to find you, that's the only place I'm going to find joy, that's the only place I'm going to find the purpose that you have for me. God, you love us so much, and we need to look at what you said. That's all we're going to do. And we just need to be telling our people in love with Jesus, that is where we're going to be released from joy. I mean, what happened to you? Do you remember that good story about the nine temples? And they got baptized, and one of them's like, you know, they're just living on earth, I don't know, but one of them took their hand, they took their hand outside being baptized and said, you know, that's not going to be our God, so you're not going to give it to them. Sometimes I look at that marriage and I think to myself, how many times do we keep our hand that day? The part and go, you know, God, I'm going to give all of it to you except this little bit here. I'm going to hold on to this little bit here. I'm going to hold on to this little bit of wisdom here. But what God is saying to me is, you know what? You need to trust in me. And we need to let go. Because when you let go and complete and do the part, God's plans, we can reach the freedom, we can reach the joy. That's what we're going to see from Jesus anymore. That's what we want to do. So the conclusion is this. We just need to go where God wants us to go. It will bring us and refine our character. It will draw us closer to Him. It will lead us into so much joy in Him. Joy is not dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent on us being led with Him and gazing at our good beauty and allowing Him to lead us where He goes. It will be better to just believe that we can feel that joy. And three, we need to die to ourselves and go and live with Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Tune in next week for another life-giving message from one of our Vineyard 61 speakers.